Shields, and you're listening to the Cozy Sleuth. Today's Snips and Sleuths, I have with me Sharon Michaels, here to talk about her book, writing, and all things cozy, and to talk about her special Christmas book. Sharon, would you like to introduce yourself to my Snips and Sleuths?
I sure would. Hi, everyone. And it's the holiday season, and I'm so excited to be back on Leanna's program. And as you can tell, I have a bit of COVID that I've been getting over for 2 weeks. And I can tell you right now, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. But I am blessed that everything's going along smoothly, I guess. I don't know. No one seems to be that concerned about me not making it. So I figure that's a good thing. But about my writing in the holiday season, I'm so excited about my newest cozy Christmas mystery that comes out on December 7th called Missing Santas. And it's a part of a 3-book series with 2 other authors. And it's what they call a shared world. It takes place in one town, but with different adventures. So Missing Santas comes out December 7th. It is a short read Christmas cozy mystery, and we're very excited about it because the 3 of us have been working on them since April. So this is just an exciting time for us.
Oh, that sounds incredible. And what a challenge to write.
It was, but you know, I was blessed to be with 2 other authors that were very consistent and giving, and we really supported one another. And it's just been, in fact, we're talking about doing this again next year. We're already meeting in January to do 3 more books next year. It was that much fun. So it was just a labor of love, truly.
Oh, that is so great. So is any of your particular writing inspired by your actual life?
Well, other than no, there are no bodies falling out of the sky, and I have not found a dead person in my backyard, thank goodness. But yes, a lot of it is a part of me goes into my writing, because I believe you see the world through your own eyes. And a part of my emotions and a part of my experience and a part of my, you know, what I want to see with the world goes into my writing. I love writing strong women characters. I write a lot about later in life romance, since I'm later in life. I won't tell you how late in life I am, but I'm later in life. And I like to add a fur baby in there somewhere that saves the day. I love a hero dog that comes in there and saves the day. And it's just so much fun. And yes, a big part of me goes into my writing.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because really, I personally think that it is impossible as a writer not to put a little of yourself into your world.
And I totally agree with you. I try not to put any politics into my writing. I don't really think I do, but there's a lot of my beliefs and feelings and values that go into my writing. And my audience is probably women 55 and older, and they are relating to my writing, which I really appreciate.
That's always great when your audience relates your writing in a strong way. It's one of my favorite things of being a writer is when I hear from a fan that is like, oh my gosh, I really related to your world. I really wanted to be in your world.
Yes, I totally agree.
So do you have any advice for those who want to write their own cozies, especially a Christmas cozy?
I say go for it, you know, go for it and write from your heart and write what you like to read and stay true to yourself. You can't be anyone else but yourself, and just love what you're writing, because I've found that if I'm not enjoying my own writing, my readers are not going to enjoy it either. And just write from your heart, just have fun with it. You know, when I first started writing, I didn't know that I had to worry about criticism. if that makes sense. I didn't think about getting a 1-star or a 2-star or a 5-star or 4-star. I was just writing from my heart. And my first book is Prickly Pear Murder. And it was written about our dog, our mini dachshund that we had rescued. And he had just passed away maybe a year before I started writing this. And to me, I was just writing this to show his personality and to have fun with it. I didn't think about all the rest that went with it. And then as I started writing more and more, a part of me started thinking, okay, maybe I should be writing more about what my audience wants and maybe not so much about from my heart. And then I thought, no, I can't do that. This is about being true to myself. Some people will like it. Some people won't like it. Another piece of advice, develop a thick skin. Because not everyone is going to appreciate your writing. Not everyone is going to appreciate your hard work. Not everyone's going to relate to your characters. Someone's going to find that one little spelling error that didn't get corrected, that one comma that's in the wrong place. Someone's going to find it. But don't allow that to chip away at your self-esteem or your self-confidence. Go for it. Enjoy it. Write from your heart. And write like, you know, every person's going to love your book because you love it. And then, you know, develop some thick skin and let the chips fall where they may, but enjoy your writing.
That is some great advice. And the thick skin is something I'm still trying to master a little bit. It's not an easy thing to develop.
No, it's not. And I'm still developing it too. It's like, you know, you put your heart and soul in this and you go through a manuscript like a gazillion times. And I've said this before, to me, sometimes it's harder to edit it than it is to write it. And then this one person finds something wrong with it, just this comma in the wrong place, or you've used the wrong word in the wrong place and you didn't see it. And it takes away from the joy of putting this book out, but then you have to let it go. You just have to let it go and say, okay, next time.
So true. Actually, there was a thing I saw on Facebook once that I wish I could find again so I could print it and put it up near my writing space that says, I'm not even sure if I'm saying this right, but to the errors that made it through 17 yes. rounds of edits through 4 beta readers, I salute you.
I saw that too. And I think every author can relate to that. There's going to be something out there still, something. It's just law of nature.
Oh, absolutely. Even in professionally edited books, one of my favorite series, the Cat Who series, there's a point where Quill and his friend are going to his friend's house and it says they pulled into his one ear garage. That is a tiny garage, my friend.
Very small, yes.
So if an error like that can be in a professionally edited book that has been through who knows how many eyes.
Right.
Our books are going to have something.
They're going to have something. And you know what? We got to live with it. That's just the way it is.
Absolutely. So with your book being a holiday theme, do your characters have any special traditions that they like to do?
You know, I'm in my book, Missing Santas, my goal was to bring some of the traditions that I grew up with into the book. And it takes place in a small Vermont town called Holiday Corner, where we said the holiday spirit is alive 365 days a year. So I think the main thing is just getting that feeling of the holidays, that feeling that you have about the tinsel and about the wreaths and about the red bows on the street lights and about the trees and about the smell of the pine. The three of us authors work together to really get this feeling of a close-knit Vermont community that believed in Christmas, that believed in Santa Claus, that believed in giving and loving and having a great time. And it's to me, it was about the lighting of the town Christmas tree in the town center. My book isn't so much about the lighting, but it's about the gazebo and how beautiful it is and what a centerpiece it is for the town, and how Santa Claus came to the gazebo and how it pulled everyone in the town together. And it had a special meaning to the town. And when something happened to the gazebo, how they all worked together to get that feeling and that meaning back together again. And to me, that's the holidays. It's everybody working together to get that feeling of love and support and just happiness.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that just speaks to the holidays, doesn't it?
For most of us, it does. It really yeah. does. Yeah. And, you know, the perfect Christmas, the perfect family, the perfect town doesn't always exist in real life, but it does in a lot of our books, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
So when you ask me if we have a holiday tradition, I'm making this ideal town that we can all move to next December. How does that sound?
Oh, sounds wonderful.
Because right now in Arizona, today, as we're recording this, it's cold, it's raining, and it's just cloudy and miserable. So I'm ready to move to this Vermont town where everybody is just, you know, happy and cheering, and it's beautiful.
I feel a little bit the same way. It's like, it's 44 here in Colorado. It's a little bit sunny, but you can definitely see the clouds, and it's just kind of like, just make this a perfect little Hallmark town, please.
Yes. And you know, that's quite a high standard to live up to.
Oh, isn't it?
That's why we watch all the Hallmark movies.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of movies, do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
You know, I knew you would ask me that. And when I told my husband what movie I was going to suggest to you, he said, are you sure you want to suggest that one? The Griswold's Family Christmas. that's my favorite movie. It's not White Christmas or any of the rest of those. It's the Griswold Family Christmas, because look at how dysfunctional they are. It makes me feel like I came from the perfect family. I swear it. So that's my favorite movie. I always watch it at Christmas time. I always have a good laugh. And it's just, to me, it's just a fun movie, especially the squirrel part in the Christmas tree. I keep waiting for that.
Personally, I think I've got memories tied to that one, because every year my family and I would visit my aunt, and her husband's favorite movie to show us every time was that one.
You sure we're not related?
Huh?
Maybe we're related.
It could be possible.
It could be.
Though for me, I tend to stick to more the classics. One of my favorites is Christmas in Connecticut. I love that movie.
Oh, that's a beautiful movie.
Every year I've got to watch it, and I love the jokes in it.
Like, what year was that movie?
I think it was like 1940. Oh, I just watched it on TCM and they said the year. It was late 40s. 2 years after Barbara Stanwyck had done Double Indemnity.
Hmm.
And I can't remember that. It was like 1947, 1948. And the internet will correct me, I am sure.
I'm sure somebody will, yes. There's that thick skin part.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You have to have the same thing when you're doing a podcast.
You sure do.
But that is... Cuddles the Call has done some of my favorite character actors. He's so funny.
And it's a wonderful movie to watch. And that's when they made great movies.
Yes. The golden age of Hollywood, I am such a fan of.
Yes. Beautiful.
So, in your perfect world, does your character prefer hot cocoa or eggnog?
Oh, hot cocoa. Anything with chocolate. anything with chocolate. I'm a chocolate fan. And of course, the town has to have a chocolate shop.
Perfect
chocolates that melt in your mouth. So yes, hot cocoa. Although I am not a hot beverage person, I do drink hot cocoa because it's chocolate.
Oh yes, I am a chocoholic.
Okay, Leanna, what's your favorite chocolate?
Oh really?
See,
That is a hard one. It really depends on the day and where I'm at, because if I'm at there's a mall here in Colorado that there's a chai place that 40 different flavors of chai.
Half of them are
chocolate flavored.
I can't even imagine.
And one of them is a chocolate strawberry chai. Oh. That is like my go-to there. But if I am home and in need of that chocolate fix, let's just say I might have a bowl of M&Ms like right beside me right now.
Oh, really? Uh-huh.
Yes.
M&M peanuts or M&M regulars?
M&M roulette.
Ooh.
Regulars, peanuts, and peanut butter. Just all three of those mixed together. Plus, I also had some of the fudge brownie M&Ms kind of tracing on the bottom. So, like I said, it's a little bit M&M roulette.
My goodness. So you're an M&M aficionado.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with chocolate. Makes the world go round.
Absolutely. So outside of writing, do you have any other hobbies that you like to do?
You mean have time?
Well, yeah, there's that.
You mean we have time to do something other than writing and marketing and editing?
Ouch. Yeah. You just hit my schedule there. Ouch.
Yeah, ouch. Reading. I would say I have time for reading. I love reading. I probably read anywhere from 20 to 30 books a month. We don't have television per se. We got rid of our television sets, 5 years ago. If I want to watch something, I'll watch it on Amazon Prime. And right now I've started rewatching all of the old Bones. Do you remember Bones with, I can't remember her name, but Celie Booth and Temperance Brennan, Bones.
Yes.
That was on years ago. I started rewatching all of those. I've also started rewatching, Drop Dead Diva. I don't know if you've ever seen that program.
I remember the ads for it, but I don't think I watched it.
Oh, it's good. It's good. And I'm also hooked on Blue Bloods. And it has nothing to do with Handsome Tom Selleck, of course.
Oh, My dream, if they ever turn the Cat Who into a series, he would make the perfect Quillren, in my opinion.
There you go. Oh, wow. He'd make the perfect anything, so what can I say? I'm just saying, it's the content. It isn't Tom Selleck. And if you believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I give myself little carrots to work toward. Like if I get X number of words done, then I'll watch an episode of Bones tonight. Or if I do this, then I can watch another Blue Bloods. I work that way. I need a carrot in front of me. I need a reward. I need something that I'm working toward. What can I say?
Oh,
I can be had.
I am the same way. When I try and do Nano, I am like, okay, if I get my word count, I can have a chocolate. Mm-hmm. If I get my word count, I can do this. This year, that system failed me. I'm going to say that. But that is because I got hooked on a YouTube show called Critical Role.
I've never heard of it.
If you're into Dungeons and Dragons, you'd like this show. It's basically voice actors. They go through a Dungeons and Dragons campaign. So they're voicing out the characters. It's hard to explain, but I got hooked on it. Still am hooked on it. And it's like, okay, I should have used that as my carrot instead of chocolate. But yeah, lesson learned.
Well, you know what? You're only human.
Oh, yeah.
We have to give ourselves some grace. Yes, and some days are better than others.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's face it, I kind of have myself in a little bit of a corner with the book I'm working on, book 4. I can't go into too much detail because it's a huge spoiler, but let's just say I'm struggling with how the male character in my book should react and act to a certain situation.
Now, do all your readers know what the situation is ahead of time?
It's something that they can kind of assume, because if they've read book 3, which is the wedding, what's that thing we used to sing as kids? First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes...
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, and that's what he's having to deal with. Spoiler alert!
And the thing is, your readers are expecting him to deal a certain way, do you think?
Oh, possibly. Probably. Because they've come to know him through the whole books. They know his personality. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if I go that wrong way, it's like, well, that went out of character.
Mm-hmm. They'll know it too.
Yeah.
And you'll hear about it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm kind of fiddling with that.
You know, I went through the same thing with my Paul Madison PI series. We all knew that Paul Madison dies. I mean, even at the very beginning of the series, it's a long story, but everybody knew. And in book 3 is when I thought it was the end of the series, and when he died, and I thought justice was served. And so I started getting these nasty notes from my readers saying, I don't think it ended the right way. I don't think justice was served. I don't think it should have happened that way. I think, you know, and then I ended up writing book 4 in the series to wrap it up in a different way where justice was served, and they loved it. So I thought in book 3 it justice was served, but no, they wanted more revenge. so I had to I wrote book 4 and they were all happy. But I hear exactly what you're saying. I thought I had gauged it, but I guess I didn't gauge it quite right.
Right. And isn't that often a weight or problem that we bear when we write series? Because it's like, our readers get to know our characters. They love our characters. Then something happens to our characters and they're like, whoa, what did you just do?
Yeah. How could you do that to me?
Exactly.
Yes. It's like they give you this, I don't even know, I don't think it's a gift, but they give you this prize that they really enjoy, and you have to handle it a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness the readers are invested in it. That means that you've done your job, but it's something you have to take very seriously.
Oh, absolutely. And it almost becomes this. For some of us, me, I'm on this right now where it's like, okay, I have got to do right by my audience, but mm-hmm. it's also fighting with how my characters are actually wanting to act. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. That's how I felt in book three. But in book four, yes. I enjoyed the ending. I enjoyed the way I wrapped the series up. It was satisfying, and the readers thought it was satisfying. So that's good. It was a fun yeah. series to write. It was sort of like out of my comfort zone, but now I really enjoyed it.
I and know. That's always great as a writer, isn't it? To mm-hmm. get out of your when comfort you enjoy zone, your own but writing. Really enjoy it.
Yes. Yes. And now I wish, you know, I could continue the series, but it's over. I mean, it's done. It's over. I can't take characters out of it. It's done. It was, and that happened.
Yeah. Of course, you always could go spin off and pick one of the other characters to torture, might be the wrong word.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens this year. I don't know. We'll see.
So how can my snoops and sleuths follow you?
Well, they can go to my website, which is SharonMichaelsAuthor.com. I'm on Facebook. They can look for Sharon Michaels Author. I also have a private readers group that we have a lot of fun in. It's called Chatting with Sharon. So that's always fun. And I've started putting up a corny joke every morning. and it's, to me, a great way to start the morning. And the members of my Chatting with Sharon have also started putting up corny jokes. So this is how we start our mornings, corny jokes. So it's Chatting with Sharon on Facebook. You can find me there. And of course, I'm on Amazon. I have an author page on Amazon. And come on and join me and let's see what's happening.
Oh, that sounds so much fun.
I believe it should be fun. You know, I believe the interaction should be fun.
Absolutely. Well, I am getting the countdown from Zoom.
Yes.
So we're going to have to cut this short. Sad, because I'm having so much fun talking to you. And you were doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome. You're welcome. This is always fun. I always enjoy talking with you.
Oh, I'm so glad. And please feel better soon.
Thank you.
I am so sorry you had to do this while recovering.
Well, you know, and I appreciate you letting me do this. It doesn't sound quite like me. I know I'm from the Midwest originally, and they always say we Midwesterners have a nasal twang, but this is a bit much. But thank you so much. I really appreciate you letting me talk about Missing Santas.
And readers, be sure to check out the Missing Santas and the other books, which will be wonderfully hosted here on the show very soon. I'd like to thank my patrons for keeping the show commercial free and growing, and I'd like to thank my Coffee Klatch for their help as well. If you'd like to join either of these groups, check me out on patreon.com/thecozysleuth or on ko-fi.com/thecozysleuth. That's ko-fi.com/thecozysleuth. Also, if you want to check out Cozy is read by live actors. check out Cozy Mystery Rat's Maze wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Until next time, this is Leanna Shields saying, keep cozy.